Today is Jose Silva's birthday, and on the line we have Laura Silva, his daughter, and Bert Goldman, a former top Silva instructor and close friend. Both of them on the line, which is a very rare thing. They haven't spoken to each other in quite some time, and today they're getting together so we can recollect the fondest memories of Jose. So, hi Laura, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. And Bert, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's good. So, can you tell us your fondest memories of Jose?
Who do you want to start with, Bert or me?
We can start with you.
My fondest memories, my God, they go back so far back. I remember when I was a little girl, you're talking, I have memories of, say, 5 years old or something like that. My father started doing research back in the 40s, mid-40s. I was born in 54. So you're talking about 10 years into his research. So add another 5 years to that, and you're talking about 15 years into his research or 16 years into his research. He was so fascinated with hypnosis and yoga and the masters of the past. And he studied everything he could. But he was a master hypnotist. And one of the funniest things I remember, the greatest things I remember, is that the one day that we could all work with him, or he could work with all his children, and mind you, we were 10, was on Sundays. We're Catholics, and we would go to church. And after we'd come back home from church and have lunch, and we were a big family of 10, and cousins and friends and nephews and nieces, everybody would show up to multiply 10 by at least 5 more, so 50 people would be at the house. There's always a lot of food and great food. And so after Mass and after having lunch, my father would start practicing and researching with hypnosis. So he would sit us down, let's say, in a semicircle from the youngest to the eldest, a big, big circle of people, and he would hypnotize us, sometimes mass hypnosis, sometimes individual. We would do age regressions, age progressions. We would do positive hallucinations, negative hallucinations. We would do all kinds of fun things with hypnosis. And he would go from the youngest, and at that time, I was the youngest, and gravitate or move forward towards the eldest. Well, being the youngest, I was so curious that he would do the same thing with me, and knowingly, that I was not totally like participating because I was so curious as to what was going around. I normally would go into a hypnotic, state with one eye open and the other one eye closed and the other eye open to see what everybody else was doing. And although he knew that, he would just play along with me, and he would continue going down the road to the older person, older and older and older, till he got to the end of the semicircle. And it was just so funny because I remember how he always knew, obviously, that I was just playing along, and he allowed me to play along and yet participate in this big research project of his. And I thought now, as I look back, that was astounding. It was just amazing. I mean, I observed so many incredible things. Another one of my greatest memories was that people did not, in our community, which is Mexican-American, that's our culture, in a small town in South Texas, didn't understand the genius my father was. And he was doing hypnosis, and he was doing parapsychology, and really studying all kinds of incredible psychologists. And what they didn't realize is that he was a true genius. And I thought that what we did every Sunday after Mass, like practicing hypnosis and doing all these great things, was commonplace. I was just a little girl. What did I know? I thought everybody got hypnotized on Sundays after Mass. So when I would go to school on the regular days, children would look at me and they'd point their fingers at me funny, in a funny position, and they'd go, ooh, like something was weird with me, and I never understood that. Until I realized that our family was quite different. Nobody else practiced hypnosis at home after Mass.
Yeah.
It was kind of a new, unusual situation. And for us, it was like commonplace. I mean, We did it all the time, all our lives. It was quite remarkable. And it was just real fun. It was really fun to look back and say, we were different, and yet, you know, paving the way for greater things to come.
That's wonderful. And Brett, what about you? What's some of your fondest memories of Jose?
Well, my fondest memories are just of actually friendship. I recall a few times he would come to Los Angeles and I would get him a hotel suite in one of our fine hotels, and he would always give me an argument. What are you getting me a suite for? I said, what do you mean? What I mean? You deserve a suite. You're a world-renowned figure. Yes, but I don't want to waste the money. Put the money back into the organization. He wanted to fly coach. He didn't want to fly first class. Except I always insisted whenever he came. Another time in Greece, I recall Laura was there also, I believe, during
That's
this.
right.
I was the master of ceremonies at a big mime convention. I forget, what was the name of that convention? Don't even remember. Anyway, it
I
was in
remember Yuri
Athens.
Geller was there.
Yeah, that's where I was going with this. Yuri was a
Yeah.
friend of mine because Yuri and I used to, Uri actually, and I used to do seminars together. And I was in the hallway of this big convention center, and I was talking to Jose, to your father, and I saw Uri, and I said to the chief, we used to call Jose the chief. I said to the chief, Chief, how would you like to meet the Prince of Psychics? Because you're the king of psychics. So he says, who's that? I says, Uri Geller. He says, yeah, I'd like to meet him. So I walked over to Uri. I says, Uri, how would you like to, you're the prince of psychics. How would you like to meet the king of psychics? He says, who's that? I says, well, who are you here for? Jose Silva. Oh, I'd like to meet him. I said, okay, come on. So I introduced him. And Jose said to Uri, show me something. What can you do psychically? And Uri gives him a piece of paper. He says, draw something on the piece of paper. And Uri walks away somewhere and he's drawing something too. And the chief gets through drawing what he's drawing. And Uri walks over and he's got a piece of paper. And he hands a piece of paper he had to the piece of paper that Jose was drawing on. And they were identical. And Jose looks at him and he says, well, I guess you're the real thing. All right. And that was the year that Uri came to Laredo, if you recall,
Yes.
Laura.
Yes, I
Uri came to
remember.
Laredo for our convention there. I think that was in August. I don't recall. But most of
That's
the
right.
anecdotes that I have with the chief are friendship. Him and also his brother Juan, who I loved,
Right.
who is not really part of the conversation, but he was a major force in the organization, Juan Silva. But
Oh, definitely. One really helped to spread this method worldwide.
oh yeah, and I absolutely loved, I adored Juan.
Yes.
Well, everybody did.
Of course.
Everybody did. Nobody had a problem with Juan.
Ever.
So many, many little incidents of friendship on Jose's ranch. Jose had a ranch in Laredo outside of town. I used to love to go to the ranch. We would have barbecues there. And it's just so many nostalgic things. Laura
Well,
is talking about things that, you know, of Jose's actual work. And I'm really referring to just friendship things, which are, and both are important, of course. And Laura, you ought to write a book about that.
yes,
I think
we're
it would be a
working on
very
that.
interesting book. It would be a
Yeah.
very interesting book.
The amazing thing was that he was my father, and he, of course, he scolded us, and he was the father presence as we were growing up, and about right, wrong, good, bad, this, that. But he was beyond that. I mean, he
Yeah.
played so many roles to his
But to
children.
you, he
And
was
I
a
can't,
father. He wasn't,
well,
you don't
yes,
see a
and I
father as a
can't,
genius.
exactly, I can't speak for any one of my brothers and sisters, and as many as we are, I can only speak for myself. For me, he was my father and such a great guide and a model to emanate. And at the same time, he was a friend, he was a mentor, and he was really the guiding force. And I have to be very honest with everyone. I mean, my mother used to always say that, well, of course, there's a saying in Spanish, tal palo, tal astilla, which means like the splinter, you know, is the same as the stick or the where it came from itself. Or like they sort of say the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. And she would always say that. You are just like your father. It's no wonder sometimes you come at odds with each other. But I have to say, my father and I, of course, I mean, we had debates and discussions, but we were so much alike. And I think that's one of the things that impassioned us in our conversations and probably in our relationship with one another. And all along, I think he always did that with a purpose in mind and a vision of some sort. I think he always sensed that in me because my mother certainly did. And if anybody knew my father, she did. And children, you know, 50-some years of living together as married couples. And she always said, my goodness, you are exactly as your father. And he was my friend, and I have to say, he was my friend, and he was my biggest challenge, and he was my mentor, and he was my father, and he was my greatest guide.
I shouldn't say this, but I always felt you were his favorite.
Well, you know, because he saw so much of me in him, perhaps.
Yeah, and yeah, you were very much alike.
Yeah. So it's quite interesting. I mean, I know I had a very, I'm sure all of my brothers and sisters did, but I know for a fact I had an office with him. I shared the presidential office with him. And it was no coincidence how that happened. But my father and I shared the same office for years. And so I had him as a captive audience. I would question him and challenge him, and it doesn't make sense to me, Dad. Well, what about this? And, well, think about it this way, and think about it that way. And we go back and forth and debating, and sometimes, you know, very passionate debates. And I would learn. And sometimes he never, ever showed any sign of anything, but he's always right, of course. And you know what? Yeah. He was.
And he was always right.
Yeah, and he was.
But you were
fine.
The only one. You were the only one. The only offspring.
And I did.
Who was out in the field?
I didn't always agree with him. I didn't always move in with his wave. And he didn't always appreciate that, but he respected that. And he thought, she's just like me. You know, even till the day he made his transition and that moment that I was with him alone, and I thought, you and I, God, we're buddies. You know, we're just so akin to each other. It was amazing.
I spoke with him 2 weeks before then. I spoke with him a few times before.
Yeah.
Before he left. And as a matter of fact, I think we got closer that last 2 months than before.
I bet you did. And people will always question me. They say, oh, I mean, your father and you, sometimes you had great debate and then that anger. I said, never. I said, because I totally always knew who he was as a spirit being. He had a mission, a purpose, and he lived it. And I totally always understood and accepted him with all my heart and love. And that's who he was. And I always, always loved him for that and admired him. I'm just honored. I was honored to be his daughter.
Yeah, that's it.
I was honored to be able to continue working and moving the methodology forward in his name and in his honor.
Yes, that's so wonderful that you're keeping it, not only keeping it alive, but allowing it to grow.
Not only that, Bert, and really, and joining forces with our friends such as you.
Yeah.
We can't do it alone. I mean, it's the world needs all of us coming together. There's 6 billion people on this planet, and there's all kinds of ways people hear, experience information, and make life changes, deep life spiritual changes. And what I may say is not, I can only reach so many people. What you see reach others. and with others out there, proponents of the same cause that we can join forces with. We need to collaborate and cooperate with each other, because that way we can really make a big difference. It's like the saying goes, a rising tide lifts or raises all boats.
Yes.
What I'd like to know, and I think what a lot of other people would also like to know, is what was the driving force behind Jose? I mean, what he did, hearing you guys talk about him, it's all very pioneering, you know, that he was starting to hypnotize you guys after church, after mass. And those aren't things that during those times were, as you said, a norm. And what was the driving force behind Jose that got him so passionate about this?
Let me not answer that, but let me interject something, because okay. Jose must have told me this, I don't know how many times. What is your goal? What do you want to do? I want to teach the world to think at 10 cycles. Now, you may not realize what that means. Laura does. He wanted the world to relax. Not to be angry, because you're not angry. You can't be angry. You can't be fearful. You can't be a bad person when your brain is producing 10 cycles a second, or what some people would call alpha. And I've heard him say it again and again. I want to train the world to think and operate at 10 cycles. There's a world of information in that. You want to get into it a little bit, Laura?
Yes. It is amazing, because when a world can think, or even just one person, let's put it that way, can think of 10 cycles, that means that they're going within. They're slowing down their brain frequency. They're not operating in the external environment. They're operating in the internal, subjective, spiritual environment, where they can touch base with who they really are as a spirit being, having the human experience, and recognizing their potential and their power as being a spark of source. And source is creative energy. And if you are that spark of source, you recognize that and you experience that when you are at that internal dimension, and you can only reach that when you function at 10 cycles per second. And at that moment, at that very moment, you say, oh my God, I am one with everything else that exists. I am one with everything. It's all about energy. If I think a coherent emotional thought towards wanting to manifest something, it is at the 10 cycles per second frequency, with a sense of knowing that you are that spark of source, with a coherent emotional energy and thought form going towards something you want to manifest, that you make miracles happen. And he yes. knew that. He
absolutely
knew that. 50 years ago, and today, that's the message he wants to make everyone realize, that that is where it's all at.
And we can all do the same thing, because that's exactly what I do. Yeah.
Because we are all
that. I'm teaching people to operate at 10 cycles, just carrying the banner forward, doing it a little differently, but it's still, our goal is to train the world to think and to act at 10 cycles.
And to be at 10 cycles.
Because
at 10 cycles, you are here and in the now. And as Eckhart Tolle would say, you are in the now. And when you allow yourself to be in the now, you allow yourself to be at a position where you have access to all that is. All information, all knowledge, all goodness, all everything.
Then you're one with the Almighty. Everything.
And everything else that is on this planet.
If I may say, I believe Jose Silva really has taught the world to think at 10 cycles with the work that he has done, and the work that you, Laura, and Hubert are carrying on, and a lot of other people are too.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and I am so thrilled to be part of a group of people who are proponents of the same movement. I open my arms wide open to all who have the same goal in mind.
Wonderful.
And I want to say thank you, Bert.
And thank you, Laura. It's been a pleasure talking to you, a true pleasure.
It has been.
We'll do it again. And we'll do it again.
And today I got an email from a woman I don't even know, a Dreckel, whatever, I don't know, I'm not sure her name. Anyway, she was a student of Judy Sansweet. Do you remember Judy Sansweet, Bert, from New Zealand?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I,
17
I
years
vaguely.
Ago. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. 17 years ago, this woman took the Civil Method, and she just, I mean, it just opened her whole spiritual being to the point that she got to really feel very connected as with to her light being, her light presence, and to other light beings. Well, she writes this note to me today on my father's birthday, and she says to me, I have a message from your father. And
really?
First she gives me her background history and the whole thing. And then she says, and I'm giving you this, you know, basically, so, but your father wants me to give you a message that he relayed to me last week. And I was a little bit hesitant, but he said that you're ready to hear that. So here's the message. So she attached a letter of my father's message to me and basically saying certain things that I don't think she would have known. I don't know the woman. 17 years ago, she met my father kind of thing. And she's sending me a message from my father as a light being saying that, he's sorry that he had caused me such pain and that he realizes, you know, this and the other, and that for that reason, he knows that I'm here to push the Civil Method forward and he's got messages for me. It was just astounding. And it goes on and on. And there's certain things in that message that she relates to me that only he could know. And I got it today
maybe
on
she
his
did.
Birthday.
Maybe
huh?
she did channel it. Maybe she did channel
it.
She was an
I
instructor,
just got it today.
Wasn't she?
No, she was not an instructor. She was a student.
Because
no.
I know the
Judy
name.
Judy Sansweet was, but this is a student of Judy's.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Judy. Oh, I see.
No.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
A student
okay.
of Judy's who apparently my father came to her to give me this message, and he said he wanted her to deliver today because it was a special day, and it happened to be his birthday. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. And it does say certain things, like I'm thinking, like, well, wow, I mean, like, how would she know that, you know, because, and it was very, it's very tender, very... And he said, search deep in your heart, and you'll know that I'm talking to you for real. I'm talking to you as a light being, and you know that your light being is going to know that it's authentic. This is very, very unique.
Oh.
Anyway,
well,
that
anyhow.
Was my surprise today, a gift from my
dad. That
God.
Was a good one. That was
my
a good
dad.
One.
Yeah, it was a good one. One more thing. Happy birthday, Dad. We miss you.
Happy birthday, Chief.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, you hear us. Happy birthday.
Thank you for everything. I love you.